Welcome to the Salem Baptist Church Podcast. Join us now as Dr. Jeff Beckett delivers our weekly worship service message.
Thank you, Daniel. Musicians, choirs, orchestra, thank you, everybody. As we really get a chance on a Sunday like this to take a very sharp, clear-eyed focus on Jesus Christ, you just sang one of the premier passages of the New Testament about that. We'll actually circle back and close our worship service today with a glance at that passage. So we are in the midst of Advent season, and we've been doing Advent through the eyes of Isaiah, which is really an interesting place to do Advent because Isaiah lived 7 centuries before the birth of Christ. So to do Advent through Isaiah's eyes is a little odd, but God gave Isaiah, in his sovereign will, for some reason, God gave Isaiah the prophet the most clear-eyed, specific view of what he was going to do through Jesus of any of the prophets. And Isaiah understood Jesus better than most of the people who lived during the era of Jesus. Isaiah saw that Jesus would be born, yet God. Imagine putting those two concepts together 7 centuries before Jesus. Isaiah saw that Jesus was going to be born of a virgin. Imagine writing something like that down and having people try and figure out what it meant. Isaiah saw that Jesus was going to be both servant and ruler. Isaiah even saw Jesus' death. And in Isaiah 53, he describes a horrific, suffering, agonizing death. A death where a human being is pierced and bruised and wounded, but not for any crimes he had committed, instead for our crimes. Isaiah wrote all of that 700 years before Jesus' birth. And so we're going to do Christmas through Isaiah's eyes, and we started a couple of weeks ago in the passage which is on the screen right now, looking at the first of the 4 titles that Isaiah attributes to this coming Messiah. And Isaiah wrote, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given. The government shall be upon his shoulder, his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor." So we talked about that. We talked about the 3 pillars of Christmas 2 weeks ago. That to understand Christmas, you got to understand that Jesus is God in the flesh. Christmas makes no sense if you don't understand that. He wasn't another martyr. He wasn't a teacher. He wasn't a rabbi. He wasn't another prophet. Jesus is God in the flesh. The Bible calls that, and we have since historically called that, the incarnation, the becoming of flesh. The 2nd pillar of Christmas is that Jesus was born of a virgin. That just as Isaiah predicted, that's exactly what transpired, and it shocked everybody. It especially shocked Mary, and it shocked Joseph. But God performed what he had described and predicted through Isaiah in Isaiah 7:14. Jesus is born of a virgin, positioned him perfectly as this miracle of God who is both divine enough to be the fullness of God, yet human enough to be our one mediator between God and man. And then we talked about how that is, in fact, the 3rd pillar of Christmas. Jesus is the one mediator between God and man. So we talked about all that. There's the theology, but today we're going a little deeper and beyond just the theology because Isaiah gives Jesus a 2nd title. He says, his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God. Now, we're going to get to the other 2, Everlasting Father and Prince of Peace, here just before Christmas. But today, our focus is on what in the world Isaiah meant when he said that this son who was to be born is Mighty God. So, let's start in the most natural place. What words did he use? So, he's writing in Hebrew in 700 BC. What did he say literally? All right, so he says that Jesus is going to be El Gabor. El is the divine predicate. It's used all throughout the scriptures. There's about 12 different names of God, Almost all of them are preceded by the Hebrew word El. It simply means God. Words like El Shaddai, you know that one because it was made famous in an Amy Grant song. El Shaddai, it means God the Almighty or Almighty God. But there's a whole bunch of them, right? There's Elohim. That's the most famous and most common, which is really kind of ironic. It's a Hebrew plural, and God is just one. But Elohim is a plural word, and it means God of gods or God above all gods. There's El Elyon, really commonly used Old Testament designation of God, and it means God most high. But Isaiah didn't use any of those. He used a name for God that had never been used before in Isaiah 9:6. He says he's going to be El Gibor. Gibor is the Hebrew word for hero, mighty one, champion. Isaiah, 700 years before Jesus was born, says a child is going to be born. He's going to be unique. He's going to be our wonderful counselor, full of divine wisdom. But he's also going to be our mighty hero, our champion, our God champion, our El Gibor, not just Gibor. Our El Gibor, our God champion is on the way according to Isaiah. Now, I've been aware this Christmas that sometimes packages aren't what they appear to be. I've been trying to spice up my gift wrapping because I'm the world's worst gift wrapper. My children look at my gifts and they go, "You poor dad." Because I don't care. No, that's not the way to say it. Because I'm not detailed enough to worry that every little piece of tape is the proper length or that it was folded properly. So I got onto Pinterest and I got to thinking about what an appropriate looking gift would be. All right, so Isaiah says that our El Gibor, our superhero God, is on the way. So I don't know if you're into, is that Marvel or DC Universe? I'm not sure which that is. Or maybe okay, there we go. So I don't know which of the universes like you care about in your version of superheroes, but I can tell you that after reading Isaiah 9:6, I've decided I'm going to go in for the real universe because we actually have a real superhero that's come our way, and God has wrapped him in the most unusual of packages, and I believe that for the most part, people are missing who Jesus is because of how he is packaged. No spandex or super shield. He comes like a peasant infant in the most obscure place on the planet, a little village outside of Jerusalem, about 10 miles, called Bethlehem. As we used to say back in Texas, a two-horse town. And that's how he's come, demanding that we approach him by faith or we'll never find him at all. Because he's come in a way that none of us would have ever wrapped him up. Isaiah presents Jesus to us. He is the mighty God arriving in the flesh at Christmas. He is our divine hero, our El Gibor, born in rags and poverty to obscure people, a teenage mother, a carpenter, stepfather. And 700 years before Jesus arrives, Isaiah says he's going to be our mighty God superhero. He's going to save us from sin and death. And today we're going to examine exactly why that is such good news. And I'm here to encourage you not to be fooled by the wrapping. So like I said, I'm the world's worst gift wrapper. So I got on Pinterest and I looked for ways to wrap gifts that would not give away what you were giving your loved one. That's the first picture I found. It seems rather inappropriate. That's a watch inside there. But they didn't want their loved one to know what it was. This is from a few years ago. This was back when people were still giving CDs. There's a CD there. But they wrapped it like that. Who knows why? All right, this was a gift card. They didn't want it to know it was a gift card, so they decided to wrap it that way. You'll never guess what this was. You'll never guess. It was a bicycle. But I thought, man, that would have been clever, but I'd have never gone to that much trouble. So God decided, mighty God, the hero God, is going to take flesh and he's going to visit humanity, and here's how I'm going to wrap it. Now, I want you to just let that sort of filter in to your consciousness for a moment, because we need to understand why God would do something like that. He tells us, actually. He tells us that the way we must approach him is by faith. See, I would have never done that. If I'd have been strategizing this, Jesus would have been born to the most important family of the day. There's an empire. He would have been the heir apparent. There would have been parades, and that's the way I would do it. Not at all the way God did it. But remember, this is the wonderful counselor. He's full of divine wisdom. It's not earthly wisdom. So it's not going to be that way. So what are we to make of Isaiah's presentation to us of Jesus? He is mighty God. Well, today we're going to talk about why that is incredibly good news for you. If you like good news sermons, if you like to be encouraged, you're going to like what Isaiah has to tell you about Christmas. You're going to like this. So Jesus truly lives up to his name. According to Isaiah 7:14, a verse which is at the bottom of the screen right now, here's what Isaiah says. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Now, the Lord himself, that's reflexive. We talked about that 2 weeks ago. It means the Lord and the Lord alone. The Lord and only the Lord could have thought of this, could only have pulled it off. Therefore, the Lord and the Lord alone is giving you a sign. The virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. All right, so we talked about the divine predicate, El. You'll notice it's actually, what is it when it comes at the end of a word? It's not a predicate anymore, right? Is that a subordinate or something? I don't know what that's called. Emmanuel, it means God with us. So we've talked about what that means theologically, okay? Theologically, it means God has become flesh, incarnation. He was born of a virgin to become the perfect mediator between God and man. And he is the one true way for mankind to find peace with God. He is the way, the truth, and the life. That's the theology of Christmas. But let's talk deeper than theology. There's actually something deeper than theology, which is what this means to you. If God is with us in the person of Jesus Christ, and he's not just some demigod or some false god, but he is the superhero, one true God. If God is with us, I want to share three things that I think that means with you. Thing one, it means that we now have light from an entirely different source than the universe had ever seen before. I never used to think much about light. As a teenager, I made a friend, a guy named Joe. And Joe's an awesome guy, and he was a photographer. And he sort of became a best friend. And I had never thought about much regarding light until I'd be with Joe, and we'd be in some place, and he'd say, man, this is perfect light. And I'm saying, what do you mean it's cloudy? He's like, perfect light. And then I realized he was saying, a picture in this light, there's not going to be shadows, it's not going to be splotchy, this is perfect light. You know what Isaiah was telling us 700 years before Jesus was born? Here's what he tells us. Look at Isaiah 9:2. It's at the top of the screen right now. Isaiah says, the people who've walked in darkness, that by the way was all of us, the people who've walked in darkness have seen a great light. The word great here means awesome or big or brilliant. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shone. So when John decides to write his Christmas story, instead of giving us shepherds and mangers and all that, John links his Christmas story to Isaiah. Because Isaiah had the clearest eye view of who Jesus was and what Jesus was going to do. And so in John chapter 1, if you read John's Christmas story, it's entirely different than all the other Gospels. John says, in him, speaking of Jesus, was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. John said, hey, everybody, that thing Isaiah was talking about, guess what? It happened. It's Jesus. He's the light. Would you like something in this world to exist that could push back the darkness, the confusion, the misunderstandings, the poor communications? Wouldn't you like something like that in this life? Guess what? You've got it. So in the ancient world, light meant everything. Light meant illumination because it was a dark place when the sun set. Light meant warmth because the only way they knew how to generate light was fire. So light meant warmth. In the ancient world, light also embodied the presence of God. In the Old Testament, when the Bible talks about God and the glory of God, you know the word glory in the Old Testament is a derivative of the word for bright light. And so Isaiah says the bright light of God is about to start shining in our dark world. And it's going to be unlike anything this dark world has ever seen before. God with us means there's a new kind of light shining, and it can shine in your life, and it can shine illumination and understanding on all the things that are bringing you confusion, and it can shine hope and love on those around you in your family. And it can shine truth on those things that give you pause, that cause you doubt. God with us also means that there's this whole different kind of love. Before Jesus, people would talk about loving their deity and being devoted to their deity, but not really. Not really. I mean, they would offer sacrifice, but they would never talk about their deity loving them back. The idea that their deity loved them was a non-thought. I just don't want my deity to crush me. But Isaiah says, there is a superhero, mighty God on the way, and he's going to arrive with this whole different kind of love. In fact, it's a kind of love that we have to invent a word for. See what kind of love the Father has given to us. And the word that's used there is a Greek word that really never had applied to anything like this before it started getting applied to Jesus. It's the word agape, and it means a self-giving, self-sacrificing love. But people had never used that of their deity before because that makes no sense. What deity has ever sacrificed anything for anybody? Only the one true God. Jesus did that. You see what kind of love the Father has given to us? That we should be called the children of God. And so we are. I love that verse. It's like one of my favorite verses in the New Testament. It reminds me of so many things. You know, when you have a biological child, you just love them like that. It doesn't matter that you don't really know them yet. It doesn't matter that they're smelly and noisy and ooey. Right? It doesn't feel that way. You just like that. You just love them. But the way that God loves us at Christmas is actually kind of different than that. He doesn't love us just because he created us. It's different. He loves us in an adoptive way. He chooses us. I mean, he sees all the faults and the flaws, and he chooses us. He says, I know you're sinful. I'm going to love you. I'm going to love you all the way to the point of the death of my son. See what kind of love the Father has to us, that we would be called the children of God. He's adopted us into his family in Christ, and everything that Christ earned and deserved through his sinless, perfect life, through his death on the cross, through his resurrection and conquering death, we've now become co-heirs with Christ in all those things that he's earned and deserved through what he did. See what kind of love of God with us means all that. That's what it means for you, that the mighty hero God of Christmas has come. God with us means that we have life that has no expiration date on it. It's a whole different kind of life than humans ever used to think about. Jesus said to his generation, the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. But that's not me. I came that they might have life and have it abundantly. And that word abundantly is a cool word that had never really been used about life before. It's a word from the marketplace. When you'd go to the marketplace and make a trade or an exchange or a barter, you would offer goods and they would, on the scales, measure out what seemed to be, you know, and you were kind of at the mercy of their scales and how fair they were, kind of at the mercy of the vendor. But Jesus says, that's not the way God operates. The kind of life that God wants to pour out for you is going to spill over the edge of the scales. It's going to be overflowing. That's what the word abundant means, spilling over. It's going to be more than you deserve. It's going to be more than you could earn. It's going to be more than you could exchange anything for. Jesus says, I want to give you life, and it's going to be abundant. It's going to be overflowing. No expiration date on what he wants to give us. So Isaiah says, the mighty hero God is on the way. He's going to bring light like you've never seen before. And he's going to bring love like you've never experienced before. He's going to bring life like you've never imagined before. And today, I wonder if you're experiencing that kind of light and love and life. And if you're not, can I tell you something? It's not meant to be a secret. God is still with us today. He's still with us. You remember what Jesus said? Remember the last words he spoke on the planet? Remember what they were? And lo, I am with you. How long? What did he say? Always, even to the very end of the age. Do you know that Jesus said that? It's the last words he spoke on the planet. Lo, I'm with you always, even to the very end of the age. Today, in your sickness, in your sorrow, in your struggle, in your pain, in your suffering, in whatever it is that you're experiencing, the Bible says, in God, our mighty superhero, we have a father to the fatherless. He's a friend that's closer than a brother. He's our help in times of trouble. He is our rock when we're surrounded by shifting sand. He's our healer, our hope, our provider, our fortress, our refuge. And his people will look after the fatherless and the widows in their affliction according to his half-brother James. Jesus said, and he's so strong, there's no one that could ever pluck you out of his hand. Why? Because he's a mighty superhero God. In our sickness and in our sorrow, God is still with us today. Do you know the light and the love and the life that flows from the Son of God to you today? And in our sin and in our failures, he's full of grace and mercy. And that's not me making up something that sounds really good. That's how he's described in the scriptures. He came as one full of grace and truth and mercy. He himself said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. He said, lo, I'm with you always. The Psalms say he's near to the brokenhearted. People described him as a friend of sinners. And I'm telling you, I'm so glad that he is and that he still is, because I'm a sinner. And he's been my friend even today in the midst of my sin. God is still with us today. The mighty God of heaven has come down to make a difference in your life today. Would you invite his power to take up residence in your heart, in your life? I know the wrapping looks odd. Don't be deceived. God is still with us, and he is still mighty. Do not be deceived. So we sang the passage just a minute ago. Take a look at it as we close. Let's just look at the words. I know you already sang them from verse 15 and on. Look at verse 13 and 14 first. He has delivered, he here means God, has delivered us from the domain of darkness and has transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son. God did that. That's the light, the love, the life. In whom here refers to the Son, right? That's grammatically, you can see that. The kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, which is the forgiveness of sins. And now hear the words you sang just before I stood up. He, the Son, Jesus, he is the image of the invisible God. You know what that means? That means, remember me talking about my photographer friend? That means Jesus puts God in the perfect light for us to clearly see God's character, his nature, what he cares about, his person. Jesus has put him in the perfect light. He's the image of the invisible God. He is the firstborn of all creation. For by him, all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. There are a lot of prepositions there, and they're all prepositions of agency. Not association, agency. That means Jesus was the vehicle responsible for all these things that got created, even the heavenly creatures and beings that are described. He was there when they were created. The mountains, you name it, he was there. He is the agency of creation. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. When Mary was holding him in her arms, he was holding the stars and the planets in place. He's before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body of the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead. What does that mean? It means when he rose from the dead, he isn't the last. He was just the first. And there's going to be a whole bunch of people experiencing the same thing. That in everything, he might be preeminent. That's a big word. We never use it. What it means is the most important thing. If something's preeminent, it's the most important thing. And the Bible says Jesus is the most important thing. Verse 19, for in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. The might of God is not best seen in the great mountains or the rivers or the vast oceans. The might of God is best understood looking at a manger. And beyond the manger to a cross, and through the prism of the cross to an empty tomb, to see what God, the superhero of your salvation, has done for you. Chuck Swindoll, in reflecting on this passage, says something that I really like. It's on the screen right now. He said, some gifts you can give this Christmas are beyond monetary value, speaking of things being wrapped in different packages. He says, mend a quarrel, dismiss suspicion, tell someone, I love you. Give something away. Forgive someone who has treated you wrong. Turn away wrath with a soft answer. Visit someone in a nursing home. Apologize if you were wrong. Be especially kind to someone with whom you work. Give as God gave to you in Christ without obligation or announcement or reservation or hypocrisy. Today I have two invitations for you. One, make sure before you leave this service today, make sure before you go on with your holidays, make sure that Jesus is residing in the throne of your life. Is he your Lord?
Thank you for listening to the Salem Baptist Church podcast. For more information about Salem, please visit our website at salem-bc.org.
Jesus Christ is being used to do what Christ would do in this world, to illuminate, to give the gifts that he gave when he was with us. in body. Let's pray. Father, we thank you and praise you for the privilege of worship and the opportunity to worship today. And with these wonderful folks who are Salem and the guests of Salem and the family of Salem gathered here today on this Advent Sunday. God, we just want to bring you glory. And one way to bring you glory is to respond appropriately in worship. And so, God, if there's anybody here who needs to receive Christ as their Lord and Savior, I pray they won't leave our campus until they've offered you a simple prayer of confession and faith, swung by the response room and spoken with a pastor or whatever it is they need to do, God, to cement faith. I pray, God, that we will put that first because Jesus is preeminent, the most important thing. God, if there's anybody you're hurting or struggling with some aspect of life, I pray for them right now. I pray, God, that that incredible, unique kind of love you have offered us will overwhelm us today, leading us to repentance. God, thank you for your incredible love. May you be glorified. So as we close our service in response, a reminder that in our response room today, Pastor Carmona would love to talk with you, pray with you, if you need to visit, if you have questions, if you wonder what do I need to do to become a Christian, swing by. He'd love to talk with you. I'd like to invite you to stand, and we're going to sing just a little closing chorus as we go. Remember, swing by our response room if you need to talk with someone today. Let's stand.
Thank you for listening to the Salem Baptist Church podcast by Dr. Jeff Beckett. For more information about Salem, please visit our website at salem-bc.org.